In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we come this morning with great expectation. And I pray that you would come and fill our hearts in such a way that this next week we would be full to overflowing, knowing that that expectation was fulfilled, knowing that the anticipation came to a beautiful conclusion, Lord. And I pray that these words would offer hope and encouragement to the heart of all of us who hear them. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be birthed anew in our hearts this morning, Lord, that we would enter in to this next week with a heart that would seek only you. And we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about it just for a moment. It's 1 week until Mary gives birth. Where were they, Mary and Joseph, at that point? How long did it take them to make that journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, that journey that was before them? She was young, away from family. The women in her life would have surely surrounded her as her time drew to fulfillment. When those first pangs of pain rippled through her strong young body. But now, here she was, on a donkey, heading to a town where she would face that alone, except with Joseph. Do you think she knew when she was gently hoisted upon the back of that little donkey that she would not return to her hometown? And that her trip to Egypt would be made with her baby in her arms? Did she know and ponder that the Messiah was to be born, of all places, in Bethlehem? The whisper of God could be heard all throughout creation. The darkness that had held the heart of man captive was now to be assaulted. It was going to be broken and overcome by the first cries of a newborn baby, as God humbled himself to become one of us, man. I am very sure that Mary's thoughts went back to the day that we just heard, back to the day that the angel of the Lord came to her and told her the marvelous and yet frightening news: she would have a child. And not just any child. She would carry the Son of God, the Messiah, that Israel had been hoping for, expecting, and the one that they had almost forgotten and almost had lost hope that his coming would ever happen. I'm sure they were hidden in the crowd as they slowly made their way along the dusty road, the road that led to Bethlehem. Among the throngs of people, they were unnoticed by the world and amazingly insignificant, as God was about to enter the world in a whisper, in the quiet of the night. What do you think Joseph was thinking? God had spoken to him. If he's like any other human being that I know, he must have questioned himself as he hung on to the reins of that little donkey and trudged along into the crowd. Most would have had doubts and thoughts. I would have. Was this really God? Or was he, of most people, a fool? I'm very sure this week we are about to enter was one of quiet thought for them, for both of them. What in the world was happening to them? It was a whisper, heard and held in the heart of Mary and Joseph in this quiet week of waiting, so different than ours, as we rush amidst the crowds. And the whisper grew louder and louder. It was not as hidden and quiet as it first appeared. And Mary and Joseph, they weren't quite as alone as it seemed. They had no idea that God was about to confirm this impossible situation dream. Oh, it was a reality to them each time they looked at Mary's swollen body. They knew. They knew that this was not of their doing. They knew that they had been pure and never gone beyond the proper limits of their betrothal. Mary knew that she was a virgin. She had never been with Joseph. She had never been with a man. And she knew that the baby she held within her body was not one of human lustful passion. At this point, she didn't know some things that were being prepared in heaven and on earth, but very soon she would see, and they both would know. They will witness it very, very soon. But this week that we are about to enter is one filled with mystery and most likely with traces of fear. What was this thing that God was doing in and through both of them? There's so much I could say today, but you know what? We all know the whole story, don't we? We know that they will not find a proper place to rest, one comfortable with a soft bed for Mary as she delivers her baby. But we also know that God was making preparation. Angels, shepherds, wise men, and a star were about to be commissioned by God to go and announce and confirm this mystery that had come to earth. And we know that Joseph was about ready to have another dream, one that would protect a new baby from the wrath and the murder of a vengeful king. We know the whole story because we live this side of it. Mary and Joseph in this week that we are about to enter didn't. Except maybe they had a glimpse of the situation they found themselves in. And maybe, just maybe, they would be the first of the throngs of multitudes that would believe that God so loved the world, he was about ready to send his only son to redeem them, to redeem us. Think about that. They were the first to know. So rather than spoil a Christmas morning sermon, let's just put ourselves in Mary and Joseph's place this week. And let's look at what they might have known. Everything else was to remain a mystery until the events unfolded. These prophecies are scriptures from the Old Testament. Joseph and even Mary may have known them. Some of them are taken from the Message and some from the New American Standard. These are the things that they did know. In Genesis 3, God told the serpent, "Because you've done this, you're cursed. Cursed beyond all cattle and wild animals. Cursed to slink on your belly and eat dirt all of your life. I am declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He'll wound your head. You'll wound his heel." And then Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 9. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in the land of dark shadows, light, sunbursts of light. You repopulated the nation. You expanded its joy. Oh, they're so glad in your presence. Festival joy. The joy of a great celebration, sharing rich gifts and warm greetings. The abuse of oppressors and cruelty of tyrants, all their whips and cruel curses is gone, done away with the deliverance as surprising and sudden as Gideon's old victory over Midian. The boots of all those invading troops, along with their shirts soaked with innocent blood, will be piled in a heap and burned. A fire will burn for days. For a child has been born to us, the gift of a son to us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. His ruling will grow and there will be no limits to the wholeness he brings. He'll rule from the historic David throne over the promised kingdom." And then in Micah 5, But as for you, Bethlehem Ephraim, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth from me to be the ruler of Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return, the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, and they will remain. Because at that time he will be great. To the ends of the earth, this one will be our peace." And then finally in Isaiah 7, "So Isaiah told him, 'Then listen to this, government of David. It's bad enough that you made the people tired with your pious, timid hypocrisies, but now you're making God tired. So a master is going to give you a sign anyway. Watch for this one. A girl who is presently a virgin will get pregnant. She'll bear a son, and you will name him Emmanuel, God with us. By the time the child is 12 years old, able to make moral decisions, the threat of war will be over." What we know that they didn't know is that as Mary got on that donkey and rode in to Bethlehem at his birth, he would get on a donkey and ride into Jerusalem at his death. What they didn't know was that shepherds were announced the coming of this king because he was the Lamb of God. And who would go see the Lamb of God to take that care of him except shepherds? That's what they did. They took care of the Lamb of God. And who would know that he would lay in a trough made for cattle food, made for the animals' food, made of a tree, much like the tree that he would lay on as he ended his life on the cross? He lay in a trough because he came to be food. He went to Bethlehem because it was the house of bread. And it was the bread of heaven that would come to give us life. They didn't know these things. They didn't know that the swaddling clothes that they picked up in that manger would be representative of the rags of the filthy rags of humanity that he would take on in order that we would put on the robes of righteousness that came from heaven from him. He was manna. It was the house of bread. And the holy angels that announced his birth, the hosts of angels, those are the same angels that he could have called to his aid as he was dying. But he chose not to. Because you see, he came in the shadow of the cross. The cross was always before him. He knew it. It was not just a haphazard thing that happened to him. It was the reason he came. Cursed is that that is on the cross. And he hung on that cross to be the curse for you and for me, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. But you know, he didn't just see the cross. No. He didn't just see the pain and the agony. He didn't see that horrible separation between him and the Father. He saw you. He saw me. He saw the ones that he'd bring home with him. He saw every longing heart. He saw every person, sons of God, brought home by their elder brother, would come to be the price. Yeah, this week for Mary and Joseph was a quiet week of thought in a world that was dark. Man's heart was dark. Man was fallen. So rather than give all of you the story today, one we all know, I'm going to challenge each one of us to enter into a time of reflection and anticipation. Throughout this week, let's think of Mary as she ponders the words of the angel. Let's think of Joseph, most vulnerable of all. He had to believe Mary, and he had to believe this word. And let's look at their quiet faith as they walked forward into an unseen future. You see, they believed what they had been told, but could not see. We know that that quiet faith led to the fulfillment of it all. God confirmed what they believed. God would not leave them in that place. He would surely do what they could not do, announce and confirm to the world by angels to shepherds on a hillside and by a shining star and by a dream dreamt by men, the word would be confirmed, heard, and believed. Mary and Joseph did not have the power to do this. They couldn't take this baby and say, look, this is the Son of God. There are some things, folks, we can't do. But there are many things we can do. And that is believe the Word of God and take one step after the other into the day that is before us. And as we do, God will confirm what we cannot. And God will do what we cannot. That's the way God intends for us to live our lives, walking forward in faith in the small things that have been revealed. We are called to trust Him and allow Him to confirm and bring to pass what we cannot. There are some things we just can't do. And my friends, this is faith. Walking in what we know, into what we can hardly believe, and allowing God to accomplish it. And as sure as Mary and Joseph began this week hidden and uncertain and most likely unable to grasp what was happening to them, with no idea how God would confirm and do what they believed, He will fulfill every word He has spoken to us in the Word of God and in the depths of our heart. So let us prepare our hearts now, knowing that just as He called Mary and Joseph to walk into this week of uncertainty, doing what they simply could and leaving to Him what they could not, He will bring it to pass. God has spoken words to each one of us. There have been promises made to our heart. There have been things He has quickened to our spirit. But they are so far above our ability to confirm or to accomplish. That's faith. Living it out one day at a time. If God has spoken it, it will surely come to pass. And about this time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral home to be accounted for. So Joseph went up from Galilee, town of Nazareth, up to Bethlehem in Judea, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger because there were no room for them in the inn. There were shepherds camping out in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everyone. A Savior has been born in David's town. A Savior is the Messiah and Master. This is what you'll look for, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic chorus singing God's praises. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to all men and women on earth who pleased him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the promises that we hold in our heart that have come not only from your word, but from the depths of your voice to our inner person. Lord, clear out the clutter and clear out the doubt. Bind up the enemy who would come to rob and steal and take away from us the promises that are sure and certain. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for the great and awesome mystery, the light which broke through the dark night. Prepare us, Lord, to walk in that light, and your word even says that we are that light as you come to live in us. And make us people of faith, Lord God, that we will know and allow you to confirm and bring to pass what we cannot. We commit ourselves to you, Lord God, today. And I pray that the mystery of this week would linger in our hearts. And that as we see the beginning and the end, Lord God, there is also a greater end coming. And I pray that just as Mary and Joseph were called to walk with what they know, we are called to walk with what we know. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be a people that do that. We give you thanks and we give you praise for the great mystery of your coming, of your love that is so beyond our comprehension. And we love you in return. Help us love you with a pure heart, Lord. Help us love you the way you love us. And we just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.